This is the point of the story because it hits its high moment when he is going through all of this and saying all of these things about what men do and how they relate to things and what's valued and what's not valued, what's looked at as good and what's looked at as not good. As a matter of fact, you can't have two masters. You serve one, you follow the other. He's getting to the point. Do you live your life by your values or by God's? That's the question. And he says, if I live my life by my values, it's detestable. We had a retreat with the elders and their wives this weekend, and I said to them, I've thought about preaching a series of sermons on that the church is the church of free choice. That freaked everybody out. They'd probably come in here when they see that on the sign, because that doesn't mean anything to do with abortion, the sanctity of life, what I'm saying about it has to do with what Jesus is talking about here. I'll decide. This is value to me. I work in the tire industry and I'm a sales rep, and I got to know by 2-3 years one of the main managers at Bridgestone, who comes to hang out with me and go places and things like that and try to help me get better. But anyways, he was doing a seminar. His point is always this: value. What is value? Buy something for value. And we're in a seminar, and I know how he thinks. And one of the most successful tire companies that we have, that's a customer of mine, I'm dying to ask this question as he's going through this. And I said to these three guys that were there, I said, what makes you successful? How do you sell so many tires? And they said, price and mileage. And I thought his Adam's apple was going to pop out of his neck. He's a tall man. Because he was saying, you're not even concerned about value. The point is this. He thought value, as it's defined, was the essence of why you decide to buy what you're going to buy. Now, this is not a sales pitch about your decisions of buying. It's about something I want you to think about, that what God's word wants you to deal with. What do you value? When have you said the last time, well, that's what I think, and it doesn't matter what you think? Now, you may be too gracious to say it that way. You ever argue with somebody? No, nobody ever. When you're in the middle of an argument, what it's about is you value something and they don't agree, or vice versa, and you get into it. Because you want to prove to them that yours is better than theirs. This is something that is hard to grasp, but the point of it is, well, what do I do with that? Okay, that's the point. Now, what do I do with it? You know, okay, I hear this, that in God's eyes, when I decide what is value, it's detestable in his eyes. It doesn't just say he disagrees with you. It's detestable. And I think about this, and when I've read these verses, I go, wow, you know, think of all the stuff that I'm thinking about and I want to be and do and all that. And that can be detestable in God's eyes. The question is, what is he trying to teach him? You can't serve two masters. You're either going to serve your values or you're going to serve somebody else's. And the somebody else is God. His value system and your value system will clash. Values are something you know and about. That's what we hear all the time. Our parents teach us that. We learn about it. We can go on a point and say, well, men's values have deteriorated, and this, what was important and precious before, is now dirty and dark or whatever. But the key is this. Jesus wants you and me in this story, his disciples, because he's going to send them out. And he's saying, guys, I want you to know something. Now, here comes the application. It's not what you think. It's not what you think. It's what I think, he says. You need to have a heart that wants to know what I think. And we just minimize this thought to some immorality issues. You know, we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that, that type of thing. That's not what, this is not about that. That's how we play the game. This is about something far deeper that he's challenging his disciples about, and he uses this story to bring it about, and the Pharisees are sucked right into this trap. And he tells them something. He says to these guys, you know, you're detestable to God. But he's going further than that, which I want to bring application to us this morning. I want to ask you, whose values are most important to you in your life? The tendency we can have is we either do our own thing and come up with what's right for me. It could be right, you know, it could be right for me, wrong for you, but it's right for me. We can come up with, well, I believe this, and I would really appreciate it if God could agree with me on this, and I'll begin to justify and find reasons for it, and why I can do this and why I can do that. But the point is this. Have you ever made a decision in your life, that you want his values and not yours? He said, give up the rights, boys. Looking at these, he told his disciples, guys, give up the right to make your own decisions about values. What I want from you is I want you to know, if you're going to go out and be my church and beginning to become what I want the church to be, you've got to function under my value system. I could stand here for an hour, which you don't need, and give you example after example after example of all the things we rationalize to make it somehow fit God's economy. We do many things, and we could maybe do many things and think, well, God bless what I'm doing. Lord, would you bless this action that I'm going to be taking? I'm not talking about evil stuff. Would you bless this, which I'm about to adventure into? Please bless me, Lord, at doing what I'm doing. You know, we can do that, and we do. But do you ever think what you're doing and your value is detestable to God? Look, this gets just solved in one simple decision. And that is, as a believer and as a Christian, as a disciple, in the one another system, in the one another that we're learning about with each other as the church, when we want to know what it's like, what is the church about? It's about a group of people who say, we want God's values. Bam, that's it. I don't want to argue about it. I want to debate about it. If he says what he says is right, he's not interested in my opinion. When in the Bible does God really want your opinion? There's guys who have given his opinion, and, you know, they, in the Old Testament, but it's a situation where he isn't interested in that. Why? Because it's his kingdom. It's his. And he says, I know what's right for this kingdom. I know what's right for the church. Stop trying to tell me what these values are that are so important. We live in a day and age where the church is becoming a marketing tool. And we use marketing as a means of drawing people, all of us, all around, no matter who we are. How can we market this? How can we market that? We have a sign out here that's an old white sign with lights. I'd like to have a digital sign that sending all these messages across, because I think that is really cool. Some technology I think is great. But the point is this. That's not important to him. Me wanting and I'll tell you what caused me to stop. I went into one of the sign places, and it's a very prominent high-end place, and I told him about this small church we are and what's the cost to get a sign, and he said, well, it starts about $25,000. I know he's playing with me. He was testing me. I thanked him for that and I left. We have $25,000, but we're going to do something different with it than get a digital sign that stays outside, because I think it's really cool when people drive by and go, whoa, this is a pretty neat church. They got a sign that tells us all kinds of stuff. That's just an old archaic white sign with words on it. It's got a couple lights there. I used to, when I was pastor years and years ago, in the first church I was at, we had a sign, and it was my job to put sayings up there. And I used to think about what are the coolest, wisest, wittiest things that you can find. You know, like, in the middle of summer, in the hottest days, I put up, if you think it's hot here, wait till you hear hell's like. Jeez, you know. But anyways, that's not the point. The point is this. If you can have the integrity at all to just think about and deal with what is your values. This is what I want to do. This is what I believe is right. Don't tell me differently. My point is this. I'm not going to tell you. I don't want you telling me. I want you to tell God and what he thinks about it. And don't get hung up on archaic legalism that's religious, that says this and this and this, that's what God likes and that's what God doesn't like. But seek him in his word. And he was telling the disciples, he's getting the disciples ready for something, because we're going to look at the few other verses here down the road, and we're going to see that he is getting them ready, that when the Holy Spirit comes on them after the resurrection and their lives are completely transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the resurrection and death of Christ, they are men as never before, that when they go out, there is one thing in them, and they want to do what he wants to do. It hasn't changed, my friends. It hasn't. Look, there's things I've done that I thought are good. I failed. There's things I've done that were successful. I thought were good. That didn't mean it was what he wanted. And there is a way. And I close with this. If you realize God wants a relationship with you, and Christianity is about a relationship, it's not about laws, it's about grace. It's about the fact that he came to you. He came and sought you. He came and opened your eyes. Yes, you had to respond, but he took the initiative. He wants us. He chooses you. You are chosen. So in that place, if you're willing to develop a relationship with God, you say, well, how do I do that? Talk to him. Talk to him. It'd be amazing what might happen in the relationship when you talk to him. Because he is there and he is not silent. That's the key. He is there, but he is not silent. And so in the relationship, and there is something where you have to add to this, and I'm finished. Be very careful that what you hear him say to you is consistent with the word of God. Yes. We'll give you an example, and it's pathetic. I know a man, knew a man, haven't known him for 30 years. He was a phenomenal preacher. Boy, could he teach the word. And one day I find out he dumps his wife and runs away with his secretary. Now here's the part that's pathetic. That's bad enough. He said he had a vision. This is what he really said. I read this. He said, I had a vision, and I saw on the altar of sacrifice my wife to give her up so I could have this woman. Jesus says, if you choose another woman and divorce your wife because of lust, bad idea. Because of lust. People take these verses and misuse them, but that's what it really says there. If you dump your wife because of lust, you want another woman to replace her because of your lust, or another man because of your lust, God, women aren't free from this, then you're in serious issues with God. The point is this, he believed it was right. He believed he had a vision from God. His vision was detestable to God because God doesn't say that. Not at all. Or one more. If you give a certain way, you're going to get a certain thing. I guarantee it. Not me. No, this is not me. If anybody listens to this, I'm not saying this. I'm quoting others. If you give a certain way, you're going to get it. You're going to have it. You're going to have what you want. You're going to hear it every morning on TV being said over and over and over. And what's ironic in this question state is that the person that says this is asking you to send it to him. That always boggles my mind. That's sidebar. But anyways, and there are people who have given and given and given and given and given and nothing has happened. Because that's not what it says. It doesn't say it that way. You're not going to manipulate God or convince him for your way. That's where we're going and we're ending. How much in your life do you stamp on that grace of God and stomp on it? Because you know better. How can you know better? How can I know better than to debate with he who came to this world perfect because he loves me and to die for me out of his love? He loves us. And love only ever looks for the best for people. It only seeks for what's best. And that's what our God does. The challenge is there. I encourage you to pray about it and to think about it. That God is continuing to develop us as an individuals and as a congregation with one another. That we are in one place together, realizing we want what God wants, not me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you're not silent. I thank you that we have the written word that is your voice telling us all about you, the foundation of who you are and what you are and what you're about and what you want and your vision for humanity from beginning to end in all of eternity. And that's this book, and I thank you for it so very much. And I thank you that one of the things that this book has done for me is to sensitize me on how to relate to you and to grow and to know what it means to be led by the Spirit, that which we all can have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, forgive me or any of us when we think the leading of the Spirit violates your word and we think it doesn't, but it does. Help us to be so willing to put ourselves on our knees before you, Lord, and to say, Lord, I really want to know what you think about it all. And I thank you that you will show me your way, your timing, with your results. Lord, that's really neat. And thank you for this, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand. Kirsten? You don't have to sing, don't know what to sing.
I don't know what to sing after that.
Okay. I'm not sure that's good or bad, but anyway, no, let's stand. I got a song.
Okay.
You don't have to play.